It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, that I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever paid. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way,
yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I'll tell you.
When I see you again.
Both go out your way and the vibe is feeling stronger. What's small turn to a friendship, a friendship turn to a bond, and that bond will never be broken. The love will never get lost. And when brotherhood come first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach. So remember me when I'm gone.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
I let the light guide your way. Yeah. Hold every memory as you go. And every road you take. Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you
Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE show. Tonight is our Sports Whispers weekly show hosted by Steve Kent, and we will get to that very, very shortly. But I am Jim Early.
That's right. And for anybody who doesn't know, Jim is, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have these shows. But Jim, I understand there's something that we must address.
Right.
Need help, Jim?
We
you want me to do it, Jim?
Yeah, well, I was going to say early Wednesday morning. Okay, go ahead.
We lost a moderator this week. We lost a friend. We lost one of our biggest contributors to our Survivor podcast, Eddie Raheem. And I did look up the last name and the pronunciation so I would have it right. I got it right, Melissa.
Yep, Raheem.
But we couldn't have another podcast without paying tribute to Eddie. Every season of Survivor, I've done so many seasons of Survivor, and I keep wanting to quit. I don't want to do it no more. It's draining to me. But after every season, I think about, do I want to do another one? Yeah. We doing another one for Eddie.
Yes.
And it's funny, JB, because you know how many spoilers I put out, and Eddie freaking loves spoilers. He freaking loved them. And
I know it.
Put out so many spoilers on the podcast. And then it was so funny because, and I would tell Steve this, when the pod would end, I'd have a message from Eddie asking me more spoilers. And I'd send it to Steve and I'd say, do you believe this guy? Did I just not give enough? And
no,
Eddie would still be asking. Eddie would still be asking for more. But that's Eddie. That was Eddie. And like I think I saw Melissa say it somewhere, he don't have to ask no more. He's going to know. I just wanted to come on here and pay tribute to a friend, that we lost. And it will be like Caddy. We'll never get over it. We're never going to get over it. We're going to always think about it. We're never going to get over it. But we're going to have to live with it. And I just couldn't let it go by without honoring him. So I know we have a few other people here that knew him and were friends with him. And if you want to say something, please, please, speak up.
You know, I think I'll go first. Eddie was definitely one of the most enthusiastic members of not just our group, but also of the podcast in particular. We would often refer to Eddie as our edit guy, and he was always very key with breaking down certain things that we would
see
on the shows.
Steve, even with the edits, he saw shit that we didn't even think about. He saw lighting He saw camera angles. He saw shit we did not even think about.
It was definitely, I'll say this about Eddie. You know, he saw a lot of stuff that I don't think a lot of us saw, that, you know, a lot of us would go back and watch the episodes after he would mention certain things like the lighting, and it really made sense, you know, the way they were portraying certain people. And he had this knack of,
I got a speaker.
Of seeing a lot of things that other people didn't see. And, you know, it Jim, honestly, it's just going to be so, I contemplated before you posted that thing earlier today saying that we were going to do a little tribute at the beginning of the show tonight, I contemplated whether I should even do a show this week just out of respect. And, you know, we would pick up next week.
And that,
but,
and that, that, and you know, I've talked to you about this. That's the way I felt in the groups. I haven't posted in 2 or 3 days because I don't know. I just don't think it's right.
I think
yeah.
Eddie would have wanted it.
But, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff I could have posted.
Yeah.
And I talked to Steve, and I said, I don't think we're there. I don't think the mods are there. I don't think we are there where we've moved on yet. So
no, I don't.
No,
it's gonna
take quite a while.
I just look at it and I just pass it over because I can't do it.
I wish I could have recorded him the day he called me and we talked about Carolyn's puppies. Oh my God. We laughed. I was working and I just pulled over when I seen him calling me. And that's when he said, Jim, that he was going to tell you that night on the podcast that he thinks he's straight since he looked at Carolyn's puppies. I giggled about that all afternoon, and I could not wait until that night for the podcast.
What a great memory that is. What a great memory.
I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I have to go back to work soon. This is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. So Eddie posted a while back, hugs, something we all need more of. So he posted that with Charlie Brown and Snoopy. And you know how much he loved dogs. So I just think that hits home because he's given us everybody hugs because I think that's what he's doing in heaven for us. He's given us all hugs. And then that's a very special post.
That's a good point, Michael, something I wanted to bring up tonight because when I post stuff, I mean, I get tons and tons and tons of notifications of people seeing it, liking it, whatever, and Eddie was one of the main ones. I mean, when I would post something, he'd be all over it. He'd be clicking like. I mean, I saw his name 20, 30 times a day if I was posting stuff. He was always watching and keeping an eye on what I was doing. And, I mean, he was there. He was a mod. He was watching. And he saw what I was doing. He would click on like, and he was active. He was there. He was into whispering.
And Jim, I think because I talked to him like a couple of days after you made him, you and JJ made him a mod, and he just could not get over why y'all picked him. I said, do you know what you do there? You know, that was higher than bestowing him kingship or something, you know? There's so many memories I have of him, even though I just started calling in this year, but when I was driving to Arizona, we talked several times a day. And then when I got COVID, Eddie would call me several times or text me and say, hey, how are you doing? He cared about everybody but himself.
Yeah.
I have to go, guys. I have to stop work and pay my respects for
Okay. All right, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, right. Michael.
Yeah. But, yeah, JJ and I actually talked about that. We talked about that after he passed away,
mm-hmm.
about us
when
deciding to make him a mod. And we just felt so good about it.
And that night you announced it on the podcast, his voice was ecstatic, and he was so excited, and he kept saying, I'm not worthy, and yes, you are, that's why you got it, and I'm at a loss.
That was one of the things we talked about was, because when we do that, it's kind of a strenuous process because it's a very select group of people that we trust. And when it came to Eddie, we talked about it and discussed it, and we came to the conclusion that, man, this guy is true blue. Whispers, he is true blue, Jim and JJ. This guy is the real thing. And so we do it, and when it happened, it was like you said, he couldn't believe it. And the thing was, it wasn't too long after Ron had passed away, and it was like, JJ and I thought about it, and we're like, we did this the right way, like we always do, but he really needed this right now. This is really good for him right now. This is good for Eddie right now. Even though we're making a decision that is right for us, this is good for Eddie. And that's how we felt about it. And I think Eddie felt the same way. I think he was like, wow. He couldn't believe it. It's like he couldn't believe it. And
he said, why me?
yeah, he would say that too.
Yeah. Because honestly, his personal situation didn't have anything to do with JJ and I talking about doing it. We did it because he deserved it. And then after it's over with, you look at it and you think, man, this was the right thing to do, but this was really good for him too. He really, really needed this. This was good for him.
It was a boost that he needed at the time, and you could tell it. I know you said in one post that you called Kansas. Did she ever call you back?
She did not. I told Steve that. I did communicate with Tom Bouchard, who is kind of like a go-between between me and some previous mods that moved on and started their own thing. And Tom said he would spread it to them.
Yeah, previous listeners of Sports Whispers Weekly would know who Tom is. Tom was our former, well, I should say my former co-host on the show.
Yeah, but,
so listeners of Sports Whispers Weekly would know who he is.
As far as Kansas goes, I'll tell you what I told Steve in private.
I am not impressed.
I think I did the right thing. I feel like I did the right thing, and she just didn't respond.
You did do the right thing, but
yeah.
For somebody that acted like she was friends with Eddie and they talked and she sang with him and this and that, I'm sorry, but I am very disappointed. I have no respect right now for her and her husband.
Yeah.
She, you know, I don't care what she thinks about me or you or Steve or anybody, but let's respect Eddie.
Yeah, I mean.
And I remember that night Eddie said, your voice is so beautiful.
I called her, and I could hardly keep it together because it was still pretty fresh.
Yeah.
I was crying. I was trying to hold it together, and I probably wasn't doing very well, but I think I spoke well enough that she would have understood what I said, and she never replied.
And you know what, Jim? Even if you didn't get your point across, if you were too emotional, why didn't she reach out to you?
Yeah.
Why did she not?
I know she had to hear what I said about Eddie. I know she had to hear that.
I know she did.
And like I told Steve, I mean, I did the right thing. That's all
yes,
I can
you
do.
Did.
Yeah, you
yes,
did.
Yes, you did. You definitely did, Jim. And by the way, we do have callers calling in. Just a reminder to those who are just calling in now, or maybe those who may be listening and wondering where is the sports talk. We will be doing sports talk tonight, but we did just to recap for those who are just tuning in now. We did lose a member of our Whispers family earlier this week, Eddie Rahim. I'm sorry, I hope I'm saying that last name correctly.
Rahim. Rahim.
And we are paying tribute to him to start off tonight's show. There will be sports talk coming up, and not to mention there's probably going to be other people calling in to give their thoughts and respects to the late Eddie Rahim later tonight.
Yeah.
I do know we do have some comments from Laura. She said, "I'm sorry, I'm unable to make it tonight. I am supervising some work in my yard. The people working are from the Ukraine, so it's imperative that I'm there to explain things." She did say, "Eddie will be missed by all. Such a kind and gentle soul. My condolences
Amen.
To everyone." And
Amen.
Tim told me that he couldn't be here tonight, but he did give me a statement to put out on the show tonight. In particular, he said, "This is the absolute saddest time for Whispers. Eddie was such a bright light in the community. He was the most enthusiastic about the podcast, the spoilers, and the groups as a whole. Above all else, he was a great friend to everyone he came across. And now that he's gone, there is a big void left in these podcasts that can never be replaced. Rest in peace, Eddie. I hope you are enjoying your time with Ron in heaven."
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Can I ask, is Melissa here?
I'm here.
Yes, she is.
I'm here.
I want to hear you.
I want to hear Melissa.
I'm here. Well, you know,
I want to hear you.
I think it was on Wednesday. I had saw a post from Eddie that said his first peony. And I said, oh, you know, because we have peonies all over the place out here. And mine weren't quite fully bloomed yet. So I took a picture of them, yeah. And I said, well, in another day or so, they're going to be in full bloom. Well, when I got up that morning, they were in full bloom. So I took a picture, and I was going to post it to Eddie and say, hey, look, it's in full bloom now. And I got smacked in the face with this tribute to him on his page, and I could not believe what I was reading. And I thought, oh, for sure, Jim knows about that. So I quick go to the mug page to see if you had said anything, and there wasn't anything there.
I had not seen it until you told me.
Yeah, I said, I can't. I better do this before I completely fall apart. So I texted you and Steve and Laura and Reggie, and I was like, you know, Eddie's gone. He passed away. I'm like, and then I was like, I can't even believe it. It just felt like a dream. Yeah. I wasn't prepared to lose him. He was doing so well. He was doing so good. And he had said that his medicines were making him feel so much better. And he had got, you know, was looking forward to this puppy and working in his garden and all of this stuff. And I thought, you know, he's in a really good place right now. So the fact that he's gone, I'm just like, what? What?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Eddie.
I know when you sent that and I went and looked, I was just like, I mean, I was stunned. I was stunned because I had just seen the picture he posted of that little flower, and I had clicked like on it like a day or two before, and I had posted something in Whispers Fan Camp, and nobody in there clicked anything on it except Eddie clicked like. So I knew he had been active. He had been active just the day before. When he clicked in Whispers Fan Camp, it was the day before. So,
Well, apparently it was quite early. It was early on Wednesday morning, and from what I gather, he was in his garden.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he had like a life alert or if he called somebody or what happened, but
I don't know. I know JB was supposed to be talking to him on the phone that day. And there was something going on about replacing a pet and stuff like that, JB.
Yeah. He told me that the puppy that he lost, and
I will be right back. I've got to take this call. I will come back.
Okay. All right.
And I know it was that survivor. That one Thursday that he didn't show up, and I think it was either that day or the day before when he lost his puppy, and I called him. I think it was the next day or that Saturday and called him. And I told him, I said, you know, the post that I made, I posted because you usually don't you know, write like that? And he said, Jim, thank you very much for calling. He said, I didn't know. I was in a different state of mind, and that's why I wrote, you know, I meant to write, but it didn't come out the way it did. And right. I know I made a goofy comment on there, and I think it was like.
That's JB, though. That's JB, though. That's you.
Yeah. And what I did is I told myself, you know what? If Eddie comes back and reads this, he don't need to see my post. So I deleted it, and I actually wrote on there, I deleted my post so Eddie don't have to see, you know, so Eddie don't have to see this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to leave in a little bit too. And I have only one comment to make, and that is I got a telephone call from Jim. I call him Game. And it was about 11:30, and my telephone rang, and I saw Jim Early, and I thought either something's going on that he wants me to do or something happened, because
right.
I have only gotten a telephone call from you one other time before that.
Yeah.
And you told me what happened, and I said, what? And I could hear it in your voice. And I told myself, you know what? Yeah. I said, just tell him thank you very much and just end it and just, you know, we don't need to, I don't need to be talking to you. To him,
right.
And just talking and talking, and I said he's not in the quote right state of mind to be you know talking and talking, so just let it go. So that's what I did.
I was in the process of trying to let you know, Kansas know. I was trying to let other people know. And I was still trying to deal with what had happened, and it was hard. It was really hard. And I knew you understood because you let me get off the phone. You said, I hear you. I understand. I know. You let me get off the phone because it was hard.
I could hear it in your voice. And that right there told me, you know, all I need to do is, you know, thank you very much. And
I
needed to say.
I knew you guys were close, and I wanted you to get your ass online and see what was going on and what was being said. And it was all after Melissa told me, because I didn't see it till Melissa told me. And when she told me, it was just like crushed.
And I tried to look on his, Facebook page, and I didn't see any lengthy posts by anybody.
Yeah, well,
and I guess
somebody did a long post on there about it, and that's what I was when you came online. That's what I was telling you. Go back and look because there's something on there, and I want you to post. I want you to be able to post. I wanted all of us to go post as a group for Eddie.
And I remember, I think I was at work at the time, and Melissa had contacted me out of the blue.
Yeah.
And because normally I contact her, she doesn't contact me. I contact her, and normally, you know, she contacted me. I was in the middle of one of my runs, you know, bringing the kids in and whatnot, and she texted me this message saying Eddie passed away yesterday. And I kid you not, I said out loud, and I texted her this same thing too. But I texted out loud. I'm like, what?
Well,
like, I was in complete disbelief because it just, this, and honestly, right now, it still doesn't even seem real. Right now, like it,
yeah.
I'm expecting that when we do another podcast, when we do the, you know, the next Survivor podcast, I'm expecting that we'll be talking with Eddie right then and there about next season's show. So for him to all of a sudden not be here, it's weird because the thing
between Melissa and me, I mean we're close. She knows I love her to death and respect the shit out of her. She knows that.
I love you to death too.
It's not like we sit there and message each other every day, like, how is today? We don't do that. When she messages me, I know it's important. And that's how I found out. That's how I found out. And I was like, oh, my God. It was like, and I just fell apart.
I know it was short and sweet. And afterwards, I thought about it. I thought, oh, man, I should have just called him. But, you know, at that time, I was in shock myself. And I thought, better just to make it short and sweet before I completely freak. And,
That's the same way I felt when Jim called me. I saw his name on my telephone, and I thought, something is going on. That telephone.
I was quite shook. I don't make many of those calls.
Yeah.
I don't really do that later in the day. Yeah.
I don't like to bother people.
But I just know when she messages me something, it's important. It ain't just some bullshit message. It's important. Or she don't message. And when
I went and looked,
I was like, I was floored because Eddie was gone. That was, and there's nothing you can do. You can't say bye.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. And I got to thinking, you know, I wanted to call him and, you know, see how he was after his pup. But I know Eddie is very emotional. When we were going through this stuff with Kansas and that, and I had messaged him and I was, saying, you know, Eddie, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, he says, can you just call me? Because I can't text very well. And so I called him and he was just bawling. He was so upset. He was just bawling and crying and so very emotional, because Eddie is a very emotional person.
Yeah,
and
he is.
I thought, you know, I'm going to wait until he's got his other puppy and in a better place, because it took me a long time to settle him down to where he could actually talk to me when that happened. And then we had a really good discussion after that. And I just, I felt really bad for him. I felt bad for the puppy. I felt bad for him. Anytime any animal is hurt, it
right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought, okay, I'm just going to have to wait until he's in a better place before I call him, because, and now I can't call him.
Yeah.
So,
He was close like that with Reggie too. I know they talked a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. And it was out of the blue. I'd just pick up the phone and call him. He'd pick up the phone and call me. But I am so happy that we just giggled and giggled and giggled over Carolyn's puppies.
Yeah.
I mean, I will never, I know I bring that up a lot, but I will never, ever forget that. And especially, he was so excited to tell Jim that night.
Amen.
On the podcast. He had a little kid's voice when he told me that. He said, yep, I'm going to call in the podcast and act real serious, Reggie. Do you think I can do it? And I said, you better practice. You know, so, yeah, it was just so cute. He was like a little kid.
You always keep that memory, Reggie. Always keep that.
I will. I wish I'd recorded it. But who thinks that way? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, everybody, it was nice talking to you. My ride has come, and I will be, you know, talking to, you know, whoever, whenever.
Okay. Bye, JB.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks for joining us, JB.
Okay.
Thanks, JB.
All right,
JB.
You're welcome. Thanks.
But
I'm going to have to be going too. I have company, so
okay.
I just come into my room.
Right.
But I love y'all. I'm never going to leave the podcast anymore. I'm never going to leave the podcast anymore until I say I love you all, and I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Okay,
you, Reggie. Bye.
All right. Bye.
We love you too, girl. We love you too. I don't know.
I know
a year from now we'll probably forget it and be over it, but for right now, it's hard. If you're going to do a podcast and you're going to be with some of your friends and stuff, you're going to think a little bit more about this, that, you know, they could be gone tomorrow. And I know eventually it'll get past that to where you don't think of that all the time. But for right now, you're probably going to think about that. You're going to probably think Melissa could be gone tomorrow. Laura could be gone tomorrow. Steve could be gone tomorrow. Tim could be gone tomorrow. Jim could be gone tomorrow. JB could be gone tomorrow. Reggie could be.
Knock on wood.
Right.
And that's just the truth of life. But I don't think you can live your life like that. But maybe we should have thought more about that. Maybe we should have thought more about that with Eddie and his health.
Well, I did. Every time I would wait on bated breath for somebody to say, Eddie's on the line. It's just like, because I remember with all that Kansas stuff going on, and there was a time where he wasn't calling in. And I said, you know, somebody ought to check on him, because his health wasn't great. He was falling asleep in the middle of the pod. and stuff like
yeah.
that. And I was like, oh, my God. And he was so devastated with all this crap that we had going on. And
yeah.
I should have
picked up on that.
So it's like I thought that, but like I said, it sounded to me like he was in a really good place. He was working in his garden. He was, you know, sounding a lot better. He had told me that the meds he was on was making him feel a lot better, and that he was going to have this procedure done, although it kept getting put off and put off. But, yeah, so I was just kind of floored. I was floored.
Yeah.
I could not believe
it. Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, I was in the middle of work, and I flat out yelled when it happened, when I got that message, and it just it just shows you how fragile life is. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and he, like everybody, we were all expecting to talk to him next, either in the Whispers groups or. We would talk to him on the next podcast, on the next Survivor podcast. Maybe if he would have called into the Big Brother podcast. I know he doesn't like Big Brother, or he didn't like Big Brother, but maybe, you know, if there was a possibility that he would have called in, we would get to talk to him again. You know, it didn't register in any of our minds that
yeah.
the finale was the last time that we would talk to him. And,
yeah, I mean,
you know, there
I mean,
was
how,
something we brought up, Jim.
How crazy is this that we lose Eddie after a Survivor season has ended, to which he sort of liked, you know, he had been very critical of some previous seasons, but he sort of liked this season. And I mean, he liked Carolyn. He didn't really like the winner that much, but he sort of liked the season. And it's crazy that as critical as he's been about some of the seasons, we lose him after a season that he really kind of liked. He really kind of enjoyed this season.
Right. It's obviously, you know, death is unfair, period. You know, none of us ever know when we're going, but it is, it's hard to put it this way, but it's kind of poetic, I guess you could put it. That, you know, the past couple of seasons, he was very, very critical. And then the one season where
yeah.
all of a sudden he likes it happens to be his last season.
Right.
And it
but
just...
But that's a good thing. But that's a good thing, it, Melissa. Isn't that a good thing that...
Yeah.
He really sort of enjoyed this final season that he got to watch.
Yes. Yes. And I'm, well, he was in his garden and the season had ended and I just, it's like here one day, gone the next. It reminded me of my dad. We had had this Christmas party, and we all knew that my dad's health was, you know, getting worse. But we certainly did not think we definitely did not think that 10 days later he'd be gone. So it's like,
yeah,
it just kind of reminded me of that. So it was
Rob.
It was like, oh my God, he just never. It just because he just sounded so good.
Yeah.
You know. There was one thing we discussed.
The other thing, Melissa, I remember about Eddie on the podcast, of course, he had his opinions, and he would disagree with you if he disagreed, but nine times out of ten, he was sitting there saying, man, I agree with what y'all say, Steve and Jim and Melissa. I agree with what y'all saying. Y'all really know what you're talking about. He did that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jim, there was one thing that we were talking about in that finale podcast about what to do for upcoming seasons. And I remember we were pretty split on whether or not we should continue with the spoiler talk or if we should maybe dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, and
yeah,
this is,
I remember that.
You know, I think if I remember correctly, Eddie was one of the ones who supported keeping the spoiler talk.
You know Eddie supported spoilers.
Yeah, well,
yeah, he did.
You know, I think it would be fitting.
Eddie would have been like, if you don't want to hear the spoilers, don't tune in.
Yeah, I think it would be fitting.
That was Eddie.
If we do another season, I think it would be fitting if we do, abide by his wishes in that regard.
Well, I've got spoilers, so I'm just going to miss him. On the podcast, I'm going to miss being able to go to him and say, Eddie, what do you think about the edit? How are they editing so-and-so? How are they editing? I am going to miss that so bad because he was so damn good at that.
Yeah. That's one of the things that really provided our coverage of Survivor episodes is spectacular to begin with, but it almost feels, Jim, like we've lost a dimension to our podcast now, because he was our edit guy, and I mean, you know, I follow the edit too, but follow the edit like Eddie followed the edit.
No, nobody did.
You know, it kind of seems like we've lost a dimension. Like we went from being three-dimensional to two-dimensional.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that, didn't you, Melissa? I mean, that was his niche. That was his thing with the edit.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, he was so good at it. He was so good at it.
Mm-hmm. And then you had said, I don't know if we can have another podcast. I said, well, he would not want you to end the podcast because he's gone.
What I was saying was, after every season, I always stop and have to think about, do I want to go through this again? Do I want to do another season? Because I've got family. I've got all this stuff going. Do I want to do another one? And what I was saying was, with Eddie passing away, there ain't no way in hell I'm not doing another season and dedicating the whole season to Eddie.
Yeah, I think, you know, Eddie. I think if Eddie were here, he would want the show to continue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I've got spoilers, and I will do another season, and it will be, I don't know how I'm going to incorporate this without Eddie, but We're going to do another season, and it's going to be for Eddie. This is Eddie's season, and he's going to be watching up there, and he's going to know, Jim, I got better spoilers than you. I know what's going to happen.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's like I put in there. Now he's got all the spoilers. I wish he could call in and spill the tea, you know.
Yeah.
And Jim, he finally got one up on you.
Yeah, he's one up on me now.
Yeah. But I've been keeping an eye out to see if there's no bit for him and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, but
I've been kind of looking.
So, I'm just going to miss him. You know, I go to Melissa for input because she's so sharp with what she sees, and same thing with Steve. And then JB has kind of different opinions. And then Reggie is a little bit off the wall. I mean, we have all these different people. And then you go to Eddie and you're like, what do you see, Eddie? What do you see with the edit? Well, I mean, with the... And Eddie will tell you about the lighting and the camera angles and who's getting confessionals. We're not going to have that anymore. It's gone. That's gone. It's gone.
Well, you know what? We can have a segment called What Would Eddie Say? And we can try to figure out what Eddie would say.
Yeah. Yeah, we could. Yeah, we could do that.
There's a couple of things we could do.
Yeah.
Because
I like going down the list and involving everybody, and that was kind of his thing. That was Eddie's niche. You know, that was his little thing that he always contributed that we didn't have to worry about. We didn't have to think about. He covered it. He told us. But,
yeah.
Yeah, and according to JB, he was just about ready to go to Panama for some stem cell treatment.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I'm surprised we haven't had a couple of people join us tonight. I know one in particular was nervous about because of how things ended between him and this person. And considering that they keep such a close eye on everything that's posted. I'm kind of surprised, honestly, that this person didn't join us tonight. But
I don't know why anybody.
And you may know who I'm talking about.
I don't think I do, but I don't know why anyone wouldn't have joined us to pay homage to Eddie.
Right.
So, I mean. I don't do these Saturday night pods. Steve can tell you, you know, I may do 3 or 4 a year. I don't do them. This is for Eddie. I can't imagine why somebody wouldn't want to just come on and pay homage to Eddie if, if they have that thought. I don't understand why they wouldn't.
Well, let's just put it this way, Jim. I'll tell you later on the on messages because you may know who I'm talking about. It had to do with the whole Kansas stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, she should forget that shit and come on here and pay homage to Eddie. That's what she should do.
Right. But,
pretty sure Melissa knows who that is, too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't at first, but yeah, I know now. let's just say that, I don't think that she would mind if I said it.
Okay.
She had said that, she had wanted to talk to him, but she didn't know quite how, and that he had kind of unfriended her. And I said, that was probably around the time that I think he even unfriended Jim at one point.
Yeah.
And so I said, Jim and he made up and everything's good now. I don't think you should be worried about that because it's like water under the bridge and, you know, it's what's in the past is in the past.
Here's the thing with that, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not think everyone knows how they can contact somebody else if they just come to me and ask me? You don't think I can make the hookup?
Yeah, I don't think that would have crossed her mind, though.
But, I mean, seriously, if you want to talk to Eddie, don't you think if you come to me, I can put you in touch with Eddie?
You would think.
I don't think that probably crossed her mind. I don't think that.
Well.
It crossed her
mind.
Well,
it's pretty simple. Don't you think, Steve? Don't you think in whispers, if you want to talk to somebody, you go to Jim and he can hook you up.
You've always been the one to smooth things over with people, to be able to smooth things over between different parties.
Yeah. And I don't do it without asking. Like if, example, Laura wanted to talk to Melissa, I don't give Melissa's number out unless I go to Melissa and say, Laura wants to hook up with you. Is this cool with you? You want to talk? You know, and
yeah,
I'll give her your number. That's the way I do it. I don't just hook people up without asking, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
But Laura and I talk, so, yeah. But
Well, I used a good example.
Yeah.
But seriously, because there's some people that don't want to do that. They don't want people calling them. But, you know, they don't want that. So that's why I always ask, you know. I'm like, but I pretty much know everybody in whispers, even people that are not on the podcast, just regular posters. If somebody wants to talk to somebody, I can hook it up.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. You know. Because I'm, you know, I'm like that too. I don't want people calling and bugging me, you know. I got enough shit going on without all of that. But, you know, I'll take my text messages. I'll take my messages and I'll read them. But I don't want people calling and bugging the shit out of me, you know. But,
right.
You know, there's a lot of people that they just want to connect and talk. So we can do that. But I think Eddie was someone that really liked that. Didn't he, Melissa? Didn't he really like the contact?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
I think he really did.
Yeah, I think he did. Mm-hmm. I know he did with you. I know he did with JB. I know he did with Reggie. And until it went haywire with Kansas, he did with her.
Yeah.
I will fully admit he tried with me. He was, I think he told me, 4, 5, 6 times, call me. And I just told all of y'all, I don't really do all of that stuff. So he tried with me. But I'm pretty sure he did with Melissa and JB, Reggie. I don't know how much he did with Steve. I don't know.
Nah, he only did it on occasion with me. He didn't really any contact that we had was either on the pods or in one of the postings, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, he probably talked to other people more than he did me in message. Like every so often he would message me, but most of the time, any talk we had was out in the group or on the pod.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
We texted a little bit here and there, but he didn't like to text that much because it was really hard for him. I don't know why. I think I've only talked to him on the phone a couple of times. But simple text every now and then, we didn't. But other than that, it was mainly on the pods. So...
Jim, I believe we have Jim Jr. joining the line.
We have who?
We have your son.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, hey, Christopher.
What's up, Steve? What's up, Dad?
Hey, we talking about? We ain't really talking about sports right now. We talking about a moderator we lost this past week who passed away.
Well, when would be a good time for me to call in?
Probably, I don't know. What do you think? 15, 20 minutes. But you can say hi to Melissa. She's here. She's one of my mods.
Hey Melissa.
Chris. Hello.
Melissa, that's my oldest and my what's the word, Steve? That's my oldest and my most. What's the word, Steve?
Challenging.
That's my oldest. That's my oldest and my most.
Challenging.
Yeah, he's not challenging.
No, maybe.
He's not.
No.
Yeah, he's
no,
not challenging.
Challenging.
He. Yeah, no, he's not challenging. He's really good. It's he's my oldest and my most. How about provocative?
Yeah, like I always tell somebody about my oldest.
How about that, Chris? How about that, Christopher? You're my oldest and my most provocative child.
Man, I don't even know what provocative means, but I'll go with it.
Okay. All right, listen, we're gonna talk about Eddie another probably 15-20 minutes, and then you can either hang on here or call back in and do some sports stuff.
I'll call back in around 9:30.
All right, I'll call you in a little bit from here.
No.
Let you know what's going on.
Okay, sound good. Just message me.
All right, I love you.
Let me know when I can hop in.
All right.
Love you too.
I love you
in a little bit. Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
you know it's good. You know it's good, Melissa, when your oldest one never hangs up before he says he loves you. Never. Phone call, never. He never hangs up without saying he loves me. He's a daddy's boy. Oh, he's a daddy's boy. And Steve can tell you all about how he was in Whispers.
Yeah. How do I put it this way? Nobody fucks with Chris. Put it that way.
Oh my God, those Whispers games he played in. Oh my God, he was something else. Lord have mercy.
And actually, if I remember correctly, I think Eddie was a fan of the Whispers games, if I remember.
Yeah, he did. He liked them. I never could talk him into playing, but he liked watching.
Yeah, I remember he was either in fan camp or I think he tried commenting a couple of times actually in some of the threads that we would have going on.
But boy, I tell you what, I mean, don't get me wrong, Melissa. When I played, I was very, very entertaining. My son. He was entertaining and went a little bit, what would you say, Steve? He went a little bit more to the
extreme.
Extreme. Yeah, there you go. I never will forget the night the night Tamara was doing that challenge about them questions.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who was very blunt. He told the girl
on the staff doing the questions, he thought she needed to get laid.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about somebody who was very blunt with their responses, yeah, that's Chris.
Yeah, he said, I think you need to get laid.
Oh, my goodness. He sounds very ornery.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was, and the way he did Daniel, oh, my God. He made such a fool out of Daniel. Made such a fool out of him. Because he had all the information on him. He had all the information on him and led him down the street and let him lie and lie and lie and then told him all the information he had.
Yeah, he did no joke. He did an online version of pantsing to Daniel.
Him and Cutie, Kristen Williams, him and Cutie, damn, they were good together. Good Lord, they were good together. Man, they were good together. The only two better than them were me and JJ. They were good. God, they were good. If they needed to win a challenge, they fucking won it.
I mean, if you're talking about gameplay, they're the type of gameplay that Eddie would have liked to see.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the Survivor season.
Good. God, they were good together. Woo! Man. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. But, and then, Melissa, we had the ultimate. We finally had the ultimate showdown. Him against me in a final challenge. We finally, after like 30-something damn seasons, and me winning, shit, I don't know how many times I won, Steve, 4 or 5 times, and Christopher won 2 or 3. I don't know. But it came down to where it was him against me in the final challenge, Melissa. Came down to it. And it was his challenge. You could not beat him on the video challenge. No way. This sumbitch, what did he do that season, Steve? When what'd he get, like 17 out of 17?
Something around there, yeah.
I mean, you play a video challenge, Melissa, and you ask questions about what somebody saw in the video. And you could not beat him at that shit. He got like 17 out of 17 right. And we didn't even realize it until another player, when it was over with, said, I think he got all 17 right. And we were like, well, he didn't. He only had to answer like 12. They were like, I think he got all 17 right. And we went back and looked. This sumbitch got all 17 right. He had them all right.
Yeah.
We were like, good gracious. Seriously. But I got him. I got him by 1 point. I got him by 1 point. When it was head-to-head, I got him by 1 point. So, and then JJ was one of the hosts. This is what happened to me, Melissa. JJ was one of the hosts. I get his ass out. And JJ is a host, and she comes back and says, we're going to make it a final three. So Christopher's going to make final three. I'm like, What the fuck did I just beat him for?
For show.
You remember that, Steve?
Yeah, I remember, and I remember how pissed off you were.
He ain't got a damn vote.
What was her name?
Angela Sanford even voted for him to win after he got took out.
Yeah, and it ruined your perfect season.
And
too.
Angela Sanford voted for him to win. I'm like, how does this shit happen? I took him out. I'm here. I should get all the votes. And she votes for him to win. I'm like, man. But
Tim must have told her too, because yeah, he ruined your perfect season one season.
Yeah, Tim fucked it up one time, and Angela Sanford fucked it up one time. I won like 5 times, and 2 times were not perfect seasons. The other 3 were. One time it was Tim's fault. One time it was Angela Sanford's fault.
Actually, no. Technically, it was Tim and Tamara, because Tamara also voted against you.
Not in the final vote. She didn't.
No,
not in the final vote. The only final vote that season against me was Tim.
Oh, I thought there was a season where you had 2 against you because
little poop head.
Because I think it was Mod Squad because of the of how they disagreed about how the end, you know, the how you played during the
Tamara voted against me in like final four or final three. I think it was final three because final four, Jeannie said, because she had fucked up and I busted her ass. So Jeannie said, I'll vote however you want me to. And she did. And then that left me and Tamara, JJ, and I think Sam, but
yeah, I think Sam was the other one.
Yeah, and then, and so I go to Tamara, and I'm like, okay, this is how you need to vote. And she's like, but I didn't vote against you. Jeannie did. Jeannie's the one voted against you. I didn't vote against you. I said, you don't need to do it now. You don't really need to fucking do it now. And she was mad because she wanted to go to final three. She wanted final three because her and JJ had been final three before. Hell, they had been like final two before, and JJ beat her. So she wanted final three again. I said, that's not going to happen. Ain't going to happen. And she didn't want to vote like I wanted her to vote. So we took her out. We voted her out. And that's why she didn't like me when it come down to jury. I think that left me, JJ, and Sam, and I was smart enough not to win that challenge and have to pick.
Right.
I didn't want to do that shit. So I just watched. I just watched them play. I just watched him play. And Sam won, and I said, well, you know what you got to do? You got to take JJ out or she's going to beat us. He took JJ out and left me and him. So I didn't have to do it. I did not. In all my games that I ever played, I never had to take JJ out. I wouldn't do it. I always let somebody else do it. He took her out, and so, of course, she went to the jury and was like, Jim needs to win, Jim needs to win, Jim needs to win, Jim needs to win. And Sam was fucked. He was fucked because he fell for it. He fell for it. He took JJ
right
out. That was stupid. That was stupid. He should have took me out. So, and, but in all honesty, he was going to lose anyway because JJ would have beat him too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, of course she'd have beat. She'd have beat. So. Anyway, Melissa, thanks for joining us tonight and talking about Eddie and the others that were here, Reggie and JB, everyone that came on here, and Steve, and honored the memory of Eddie. And I guess we should probably at this point let Steve get back to the sports podcast because I know he's got people wanting to talk about some sports. So thanks. Thanks for us getting to
honor Eddie and talk about Eddie.
Yeah. You know, Bob, like we said before, Jim, this is ultimately on top of things. This is your podcast, you know. So if you ever need a night where, you know, you need to, we need to have something sort of like what we did tonight, you know, like I said, Saturday is all, I can always end up rescheduling a sports podcast at any point. If you ever need to use a sports, you know, a Saturday night for anything. But it was great to hear from everybody tonight with Doyle and everybody calling in, and not just them, but also the two statements that I had from Laura and Tim as well. Unfortunately, they couldn't join us for the Eddie portion of tonight's show.
Yeah. So, but like I said, thanks to everyone that did chime in about Eddie. And I'm glad we were able to honor him a little bit tonight, because we don't have Survivor podcast coming up, so we had to use the Sports Whispers podcast, and I'm really glad that when I did the posting, that we had some people show up. I guess that's it, Steve. I guess I'm glad that that people showed up and we were able to talk about Eddie and honor Eddie.
Yeah.
Right.
If anybody else wants to add anything, Melissa or anybody, I mean, we were just trying to honor a friend. That's all it was. We were trying to honor a friend. You know.
Now we do have Alex with us right now. We did have Lou earlier, but he ended up dropping off. But we do have Alex with us, who is in the Sports Whispers group as well. So he probably saw, I'm pretty sure he saw the posting. Alex, you saw the posting, right? That we put up.
I have not. First of all, sorry for your guys' loss, and those are really nice words that each of you guys offered. I haven't seen anything, man. I'm sorry, I was doing some random stuff before. Did you put it on Facebook or where was that?
Yeah, it was in Sports Whispers.
Okay. Yeah, I have not. I don't think I've seen that one. What was that? Was it for the tribute or what?
Yeah, for the tribute.
The tribute. We had an in memoriam on the top of the group. You could probably see an in memoriam.
Very nice
photo.
Right now, I got it. Yeah, it looks really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna let you guys get to sports. I'm gonna let you guys go and get to sports, and we'll talk to you guys again.
All right, Melissa. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks, Melissa.
All right. You're welcome, Jim. Love ya. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Melissa. All right, and I believe we do actually have Lou joining in now. Lou, is that you?
Yes, it is, Steve.
All right, welcome. Welcome to the show. Like we had discussed earlier, We did do a show dedicated to one of our mods, Eddie, for
right.
to start off tonight's
right.
show, who tragically passed away in the middle of this past week, and I mean, you know, if you're a fan of Survivor or whatnot, and had listened to the recap shows, you would have heard him on the recap shows. He's not much of a sports guy, so he wouldn't have been on any of the sports shows.
I've heard you mention throughout the years, so I never did call him, but I know who he is because you've mentioned him, you know, throughout the years I've been calling you this show.
Hello,
yeah,
so, you got me, Joe.
Yeah, Diane's here.
Yes, I know, Diane. I just added you in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just added you in, Diane. Once again, an apology for earlier, but. Ultimately, this is Jim's podcast. So, you know, if he wants to do something on a Saturday night, obviously, you know, we were honoring one of our moderators. So, it made the most sense.
Yeah,
it made the most sense to do it tonight. So,
sure.
But. We do have a lot to talk about, though. We have
I'll be for as long as I can.
Lionel Messi. We have Lionel Messi
yep.
going to Major League Soccer and perhaps maybe the biggest contract that has ever been signed, I think, in Major League Soccer history.
Yeah.
In particular,
what
I've read is...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the captain of Team Argentina,
Argentina.
for the FIFA World Cup this past year. That ended up winning the World Cup, and
yep.
he has now signed a 4-year deal with Inter Miami, who just got absolutely destroyed by the New England Revolution tonight.
Yeah.
To a 4-year deal, which will give him about $54 million per season.
Eesh.
In what's considered to be the richest contract ever given out to a Major League Soccer player.
Problem renting a condo in Miami.
You might.
Oh, no, hell no. Matter of fact, he's close friends with Inter Miami's owner David Beckham. So
right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know,
any little home there.
That makes more sense. I didn't know about that wrinkle of the story, the Beckham angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That played a big part in
mm-hmm.
that, and wooing him and getting him over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, as far as Messi goes, for those who don't know who he is, how do I put it? He's like this modern day version of Michael Jordan, basically, for soccer.
Pretty much.
The only thing that was missing from his resume was a FIFA World Cup, which he won
yes.
this year.
Yeah, for years it was like Jordan, or sorry, it was like almost like Lemieux Gretzky 1A, 1B with Ronaldo. But in the past few
right.
years, he's proven it definitely. In the past few years, he's definitely put some distance between himself and anyone else in the sport. I mean, he's
yes.
the cream of the crop.
Yeah, Messi, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Major League Soccer is definitely put on notice with this signing
yeah.
because – I could tell you just from the amount of success that he's had overseas, I mean he has a total of about I want to say over 500 goals throughout his entire career with Barcelona and Paris
okay.
Saint-Germain overseas. So this is a guy even at the age of 35, he's still putting up career numbers, and
yeah.
I mean. I'll be perfectly honest, Major League Soccer is actually, dare I say, weaker than overseas competition.
No.
So,
really?
Well, yeah, I know it's easy for me to put that out there now, but
right.
I think it's definitely this is going to be a huge shift for, and it's going to put a lot more eyes on Major League Soccer when you have such a huge name like Lionel Messi join their rankings. I mean, they could have had Lionel Messi could have joined Cristiano Ronaldo out in Saudi Arabia and accepted the $400 million offer that he got. But instead,
you got enough to turn that down.
Yeah, he ended up turning that down in order to sign a contract for around a little over $200 million total with Inter Miami.
Yeah.
So
I mean, not for nothing though. You got to be out of your mind to give that kind of money.
I mean, Luke, you know, you follow Major League Soccer. You're a Red Bulls fan.
Right.
You know, what are your thoughts on Lionel Messi seemingly going to be spending the final years of his career, of his illustrious career, in Major League Soccer?
No, it's not getting too hasty. I mean, 35 isn't exactly over the hill, even in soccer. I mean, you know, this day and age, 35 is still like in the prime of your career. So let's not be too hasty here. Second of all, I think it's a big boost for Major League Soccer. Yes. On the flip side of that, though, I wish he was coming to the Red Bulls or maybe even NYFC. But no, he's got to go to Miami. I get it. He has a home there. He owns property there, has a vacation home, et cetera, and is, you know, in cahoots with Beckham, I get. But still, it's a disappointment to our side. I mean, I was hoping maybe he would, you know, give the Red Bulls a boost, but no. I'm not surprised, though, that, you know, when Beckham was here, it wasn't, you know, the big thing, you know, because when he went to the LA Galaxy, you know, I thought that was going to create a big buzz, but it didn't as we expected. So this might be the boost that maybe Major League Soccer has been missing in the last 25 years of their existence. Yeah, but sure,
right.
Because
now you're going to have people from overseas who may follow him. You're going to have people from overseas wanting to watch Major League Soccer. So there's going to be a lot more eyes on the sport than there were before.
Can we get
What was that?
Can we get Ronaldo or from Saudi Arabia?
I don't think so. I mean, if they did, he would be like 40 years old by the time his contract's up.
He's definitely slowing down.
The Red Bulls need just one star. They just need one big star, and we can really be, you know, on the same wavelength as, you know, some of the other teams.
How did that really talented, really well-known, prestigious French striker, how did the French forward play? He came over to where, like 3 or 4 years ago? Was he in New York? Was he from French or English? Another really big-name guy came over. Taller, goalie.
Are you talking in singing?
Yeah, he's like, he was like 6'2 or 6'3. He was a scorer, striker, up front, forward.
I forget
his name. But, yeah, he was like late 30s. He came over recently. But, yeah, nothing compares to Messi. This is the biggest spoon, the biggest, you know, cash-making move in soccer history, I think. I mean, this is monumental.
Yeah.
Monumental move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely this would be basically I can't even throw out this comparison because – I was going to say this is like Michael Jordan going to Washington, but then again, that's when Michael Jordan had come out of retirement, which is completely
number
different.
45.
Yeah.
But, you know, sorry, that's a helicopter, I think.
Okay.
We do have a
landing course or some
need to discuss. In particular, the NBA Finals. We have the Denver Nuggets currently with a 3-1 lead, 3-1 series lead over the Miami Heat. And I gotta be perfectly honest, you guys. I don't see how Miami can stay in this.
At the last time I lost, no.
To look to get swept back to back at home and now have to go on the road on your last breath. Denver's gonna choke them. Denver's gonna finish the job. I think five gentlemen sweep five games, so 4-1. I think their visit to Denver is gonna be short this time.
Yeah, especially when you look at the last matchup. Nikola Jokic was out for a majority of the fourth quarter because he already had hit five personal fouls. Yet Miami still couldn't close the gap enough in order to be within striking distance, and they ended up losing by 13.
Right.
I mean, you had Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I really do. I think the biggest thing, we've all kind of shared the same sentiment with them not being big enough to match up with Denver. And another thing, I mean, they've played a lot of games. They've been shorthanded. They don't have the bench. So these guys are playing a lot more minutes. I think they're really just exhausted, too. They're out of gas. They're out of fumes.
Yeah.
And Denver
isn't?
No.
Well, don't forget, Denver plays in a higher altitude, too. So they're used to having to work under more strenuous conditions.
Right.
Big advantage.
Where Miami is not used to that.
No.
They used to club you out for you. Different altitudes.
Right.
Well, because remember, you know, in Denver, I'll take the Colorado Rockies as an example. You know how they talk about how baseballs fly out of the Colorado Rockies stadium like it's nothing. It's because of the increased altitude. Mm-hmm. You know, with there being less oxygen, it basically completely changes, you know, how the games are played. Like, you may see players get fatigued a lot quicker compared to, like, say, if they were playing in Miami. You may see players get fatigued a lot quicker because of the drastic difference in altitude. I mean, that's why normally when teams, like, for example, if Miami had dispatched Boston and they hadn't gone to seven games, I guarantee you they would have flown out to Denver fairly early before the, because I believe the finals began, what, June 1st?
Around that, yes.
I guarantee you they would have flown out to Denver in order to get adjusted to they would have flown out a week in advance in order to get adjusted to the altitude, because it is drastically different out there as opposed to playing in a city like Boston or Miami or New York.
Well, and then the other thing with when they do have healthy lungs, when they finally do adjust, they don't have the bodies. They've gone through a lot of injuries. Guys are playing much too many minutes. Denver's more rested. They have more good players. I mean, yeah, I think just Miami's just – they just look tired, like it's the end of the road. Mm-hmm. They're out of gas, out of steam.
And the biggest thing, too, is you look at Miami, you're not getting points out of Max Strus. You're not getting points out of Gabe Vincent. Caleb Martin kind of came back in game four. But – you know, these undrafted players that you were riding the backs of this entire playoff run are all of a sudden not showing up in the finals. So, I mean, that right there, you know, if you're a team like Miami, if you're relying on undrafted players to who by the way, don't really attack the basket, they're more along the lines of, you know, live by the three, die by the three. And if they're getting smothered by the bigger Denver defenders, you're not winning a game like that.
No.
There's a reason why Caleb Martin has been getting absolutely abused by Aaron Gordon all series.
Yeah.
Well, they can't afford it.
Because
Kevin Love's too old or not healthy enough or whatever's going on with him. They can't really play him. So then they don't have a second big man. Denver's got three big men, Porter, Gordon, and Joker. It's just a huge difference in size. Yeah, they're getting abused defensively.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Miami has Adebayo. You know, I wouldn't even say Kevin Love is a minus for Miami. I think Kevin Love is actually a plus for Miami because ever since they put him into the starting lineup, they were playing a lot better with Love in the starting lineup once the playoffs hit.
So were they switching around? I didn't watch the whole game last night. Were they playing? They weren't putting Kevin Love on Gordon. They were having Martin with him.
Right.
No, they've been having Martin all series.
Yeah.
Wow, a lot smaller, not nearly as big as Gordon.
I mean, Miami didn't come in the game of it, but it was just too much for them to come back from.
And I mean, the big problem is that Miami just does not have the size, and the size that they do have.
Yeah.
Cody Zeller off of the bench? Are you kidding me?
You
mean to tell me, you know, your best size guy other than Bam Adebayo, your best size guy is Cody Zeller, who
he was one of the Hornets. He was like the number two or three pick in his draft out of Indiana by the illustrious general manager Michael Jordan, the king of draft.
He can't even catch
a ball or dribble. Have you noticed that? He turns it over every time he touches it. He doesn't even know how to really play it.
Well,
it doesn't seem like it.
clearly, his brother was the better of the two players.
Tyler Zeller, Carolina.
You know, and I'm honestly, I'm kind of surprised that he has essentially washed out of the league. Because I thought that his brother, Tyler, was actually the better of the two players.
I thought so, too.
I'm not saying that just because he played for Boston, but, you know, it seemed like he was able to get up for more shots underneath the basket. But,
yeah.
You know, Cody Zeller, he had a couple of big games against Boston last series, and then this series, he's basically been ineffective when going up against the bigger guys of Denver. You know, it's like they have to
give minutes, but he's such a negative. I never even knew how bad he was. He's the worst player on the court by far. Whenever they put him in, they have to quickly take him back out. It's really bad.
I mean, you look at Caleb Martin. Caleb Martin's 6'5". Gabe Vincent is 6'2". Max Strus is 6'5". Literally, their biggest non-big man is Jimmy Butler, who's 6'7". That's their huge problem is that they just don't have the size to compete with Denver.
Right.
And Denver is all around.
You should always, especially if you have title championship aspirations and dreams, I mean, you've got to have more guys. You need at least one or two extra big guys on the bench just to be able to, you know, at the end of the bench at least. There's a lot of good players, and Heat have done some great stuff, but like they're kind of undermanned. They should have more size on the bench. That's Pat Riley's job to make sure he has. Pat Riley should have signed another 7-footer or two. Yeah. Can't have enough big men.
You know,
they don't have enough at all.
And people, you know, people are saying, oh, well, they don't have Tyler Herro, you know, this series. So Tyler Herro would make a huge difference. But would he really? He's another 6'5" guy. I mean, granted, yeah, he's probably their shooters. Apart from Jimmy Butler, he's maybe their second best shooter. But at the same time, not only is he dealing with a broken hand, but
yeah,
you'd have to think he's going to have a ton of rust coming off of his broken hand. And if he does come in, how effective is he really going to be?
Not much at all.
Especially against a big team like Denver.
Right.
I mean, can Miami steal one? Can they steal like maybe one more? Maybe. I don't really put that much stock into a potential Miami, comeback here. I'll put it this way. I would put more stock into a Florida Panthers comeback in the Stanley Cup Finals than I would a Miami Heat comeback.
At this point, so would I.
Yeah. It just, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Lou, about Miami's chances? Do you think there's any possibility that they could extend this?
From what I saw that last night, that was a golden opportunity, you know, to try and tie things up. I think now we're going back to Denver. I think it's going to be very hard to do. But like I said, this is going to be a very difficult climb for Miami. I think this was Denver's series all along. You know, I was expecting, you know, to win them one game, I thought, and on their home court, but that surprising game, too, kind of changed that around. But now Denver seems to have the upper hand in what they're doing, and I think there's the taking now. So Miami had their chance, but I think they blew it.
And Miami's blue collar, they're going to go down, you know, they're going to die trying. They're going to go down fighting, but, yeah, they're tired, and they're not big enough, and they're out, man. You know, Denver's going to be having that parade. You can't lose two at home and then go on the road, on the ropes. I mean, mentally, I think they're pretty much done now. And physically, they're exhausted. So that's a wrap.
I thought maybe, you know, because, you know, without Butler, but maybe Gabe Vincent was going to step up more. But, you know, I think he's showing some kind of weakness, too. I mean, Vincent's really stepped up here throughout the playoffs.
I mean, look, they overachieved. They had a great year. They overachieved, though, let's be honest. I mean,
they did.
They really overachieved. So after a while, you know, it kind of like levels out, and then the Denver men, just definitely a better team.
Exactly.
Well, let's look at it this way. Miami, they became the first team to win the play-in tournament and then make it to the NBA Finals.
Right.
That's remarkable.
Especially with a 44-38 record. You know, nobody...
Yeah, come on, it's not bad.
No, but at the same time, I'm kind of thinking they purposely lost that first play-in game to Atlanta.
I'll give you that, but still. I mean, at least they went in with a decent record. I mean, it's not like they were around like 38-44. I mean, no excuse being that. But, you know, they did finish above 500, a decent record. And, you know, so this was, you know, well remarkable in its own right. You know, so,
But
right.
I think that was just too much for them. And I think maybe they were running, running out of steam after playing a grueling seven-game series against the Celtics, which the Celtics should have won if they didn't choke in that seventh game. But, yeah.
I mean, imagine every team could use another extra one or two big men. But, I mean, like we've been saying tonight, guys, the Heat really desperately need one or two more big guys. Even Jeff Green, who's like near the end of the he's a good player, but he's, bench guy for Denver. He would be perfect for Miami. I mean, they literally just don't have enough big guys. They're getting just bullied on the rebound, down low.
So with a potential series loss here, this will make Eric Spoelstra 2-4 in NBA Finals series.
Wow.
He lost in LeBron's first year in Miami, which was 2010-2011. Then they won the next two seasons. He won the next two seasons after that. Then he lost in 2013-2014. And he also lost in 2019-2020, which was the bubble year, I think, the year that LeBron won with L.A. Yeah, the one when LeBron won in L.A. And now it looks like they are on the verge of losing yet again. So, I got to give it to Spoelstra, though. He's definitely a Hall of Fame worthy coach.
Yeah.
I feel.
Oh, sure.
Whenever he does officially hang them up.
And guys, I mean, this year, the big three, that's kind of a black mark, or a black eye or whatever. I mean, that's not a great look for him the previous times, but I mean, this year, just to get to the finals is a huge success. So, like, I can't view him not winning a ring this year as a failure. I mean, he did an incredible job playing team. They had a lot of injuries. And not the best Heat roster we've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So. He's really coached
quite
well.
We'll put it this way. Despite losing Oladipo and Tyler Herro for the entire playoffs, I am very impressed with the fact that Miami was even able to make it to the NBA Finals.
Despite the fact that they
didn't have Tyler Herro and they didn't have they didn't have Victor Oladipo. And yet they had basically been relying on.
Well, what was
another factor?
All along.
That's another factor because, you are missing two key players. You are missing Oladipo and the other one. So I think that does present a hero. And without them, I think maybe that's what Miami has been missing throughout this series, and that's why that they've lost this team. Because when you usually lose your best players going to the final, I mean, I think that's gonna make a big difference, and it has.
Yeah,
possibly.
There goes my Tyler Herro. That's a big loss.
Now it's a Tyler Herro.
losing Oladipo did actually impact their bench quite a bit, to the point of where they lost basically their identity off of the bench.
Imagine if they had both of them, though, because you had Martin and Vincent. Vincent really emerged out of nowhere, and then you still have Lowry. I mean, it's like how much room do they have? If they had Oladipo and Herro, it's almost like too many guards. They really need another big man. They still need the size.
Right.
They're all kind of like really good players. Oladipo's like 6'4". Hero's 6'3", 6'4". Kind of redundant, kind of repetitive. The types of players like they need to trade one or two of those guys and get a really nice big man.
Oh, we got a brawl out in Florida. Holy
we got a brawl, right, man. Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
The game is over. Vegas wins 3-2. They lead the series 3-1. But a brawl in front of a Vegas net between both clubs. Apparently didn't hear the whistle or the time expire. And now there's crap being thrown from the audience. It looks like there's a whole bunch of cans and stuff being thrown. It is ugly right now in Florida.
Yeah.
How did I not see the end of this? You might have somehow switched over to live PD, which I love. I should have been watching this game. Wow. Jeez.
I mean, Florida had a power play, but I don't understand. I don't understand why all of a sudden.
Kachuk, he had the whole top of the net. He shot it right into his pad. He had the whole top of the net.
I think Kyrie expired when he made that shot.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, this crowd was rocking, too. I did see it when it was about halfway through the third, and the crowd was going berserk. I mean, I thought they were dead and buried.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the Knights should have won last game, but, of course, I talked to Steve about that. Of course, and I didn't take them tonight, and they won. Can't figure it out with me.
You even had the goaltender, Aiden Hill, throwing punches in front of the net. I mean, this turned into anarchy really quick out in the Sunshine State. But yeah, Vegas, they now with this win take a commanding 3-1 series lead. They look to potentially capture their first Stanley Cup championship. And you know I said that I would give Florida more of a chance than I would give Miami.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of look at the goal scoring in this series, and it's been really, the first two or three games were very highly Vegas for the most part.
Yes.
That's a good take on things. I agree.
I mean, ultimately, you know, we were looking at this series as probably a very evenly matched series, which is odd to think about when you consider that these are basically the same two seeds as what we're seeing in the NBA right now, with Denver having the number one seed and Miami having the number eight seed, and that's basically what we're seeing here with Vegas having the number one seed and the Florida Panthers having the number eight seed, or the second wild card, I guess you could call it. But it looks like maybe, perhaps, Florida may be gasping for its last breath come Tuesday night.
Wouldn't be surprised.
That's such a ball-breaking way to lose that at home on Saturday night, and the clock's running out, and you have a great chance. No wonder Kachuk lost his marbles instead of brawling. That's a huge emotional.
Sure.
Just, you know, that's a real smack in the face. I'd be probably tempted to brawl pretty hard, too. I mean, those guys are just pissed off. They're exhausted. And, I mean, now, their season's almost over. And unlike basketball, hockey, you can definitely throw it down and punch people. And it's not as you're not facing the Heat suspension. So, yeah, the Heat probably feel like doing it. And the Panthers just felt like brawling and fighting. And that's what they did.
So what are your thoughts on this series? We'll start with you, Lou. Any chance you see a Florida comeback here against Vegas?
I think at this point, the Panthers had their chance, and Vegas got away with it. I mean, they did make a good effort to come back. They were down 3-0, and they were finally back to claw in. But I think now with them going home back to Denver, I think on Tuesday they're going to wrap it up. And Vegas will be shooting craps after the game.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you, Lou. I do think, even though I did say that I would give Florida more of a chance than I would Miami.
Yeah.
The problem with Florida is they got thoroughly outscored those first two games. And each of these last two games have all been decided by one goal apiece. And it took Florida going into overtime last game let's keep in mind, Vegas was up 2-1 with time winding down. And then they went into overtime after a late goal scored by Florida.
Okay.
So you know, it's possible that maybe Florida could potentially make a run, but the problem is that Vegas, they just have way too much firepower to where they can trade blow for blow.
Exactly. On that note, gentlemen, I'm going to leave you because little brother's calling, so I'll be back on the next show.
See you, Lou.
All right, Lou. Well, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you. And once again, sorry for your loss. Take care, guys.
Well, thank you, Lou. We appreciate it.
Okay. Oops, I gotta go to the phone here.
Good night.
Good night.
All right.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week, Lou. Yeah. So, you know, Alex, you know,
yeah.
It really does seem like. You know, Bruce Cassidy, obviously, you know, he got fired from the Bruins last year.
That's right.
Or this offseason, I should say. He got fired by the Bruins. He comes to Vegas. Vegas obviously looking for a new voice, essentially, to get to its players. And let's keep in mind, he does have NHL, you know, Stanley Cup Finals experience when it comes to coaching.
Yeah, he does.
And
yeah,
I can't really say that I'm surprised at this because even though Paul Maurice has experience as well for the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Finals. Bruce Cassidy has always been that type of coach that's been able to really connect with his players. Now, obviously, that didn't work out well in his final season in Boston. He's always been that one guy that's been able to get the most out of his players. So, you know, I can't really say I'm surprised to see Vegas right now riding the unlikely play of an unbelievable backup goaltender right now in Aiden Hill.
Eichel's tearing up.
You know,
21 again. Eichel's playing outstanding. And Cassidy's really taking the reins and giving them plenty of confidence and the direction. You know, he knows what it takes, and he's got them to the top of the mountain, you know, in less than a year. It's amazing, you know, in a year. I mean, talk about a way to make your mark right away, right off the rip. Cassidy, I mean, his famous
right.
quote, too, is his one career goal is it means everything just to win the cup. That's what he's been quoted as saying. So he's a man on a mission, and the players are buying into it, and Vegas is doing incredible things. You know, they just seem like the best
too,
team in the league, you know. Best team to me,
for sure. Just think of it too, though. This was a guy that everybody looked at as, oh, there's, you know, this guy isn't NHL coaching material. You know, he can't be. There's no way he'll ever succeed as an NHL coach. Following his first stint with Washington, all the way back in the early 2000s, and. Then, of course, he came up through the Bruins organization, and everybody saw what he did with mentoring the young players out in Providence. Ultimately, he then gets called up to replace Claude Julien as the Bruins head coach, and he got the Bruins to the Stanley Cup Finals. They ultimately ended up losing in 7 games.
One win away. Wow.
Yeah, one win away, exactly.
2019, yeah, they were on the brink right there.
So he definitely has the experience when it comes to you know, getting his guys there. It's the only problem is execution. And
did
also
you really
not
like
having a goaltender.
Yeah, sorry, man.
What was that?
Boston, when he was coaching your boy Steve, did you really love him? Were you like, okay, this guy's a good coach? I mean, what were your thoughts when he was running the show in Boston?
Oh, I loved him. I loved the type of style that he brought. The fact that he was able to take young players and develop them to effectively play at the major league level. And yeah. I mean, this is why you see guys like for example, Jake DeBrusque, who has all of a sudden developed into a top six forward when everybody was looking at him at potentially, oh, you know, at most, maybe he'll be a top nine guy, you know, play on the third line and whatnot. But he'll never, you know, he'll never really contribute anything effective, you know, that would be a difference maker.
Yeah,
now, obviously he was a very late bloomer last year.
Yeah, totally. But that's just a testament. That proves your point perfectly, that Cassidy's had a huge impact, and his staff, you know, obviously, that unlocking players' potential is such a huge aspect of, you know, being a great coach in any sport. Definitely getting the most out of his players. And like you said, people that were kind of fringe and not maybe, you know, as a third turn or maybe a fourth line winger becomes a second liner. You know, they play more and more, and he's giving people more and more confidence. He's really doing a great job.
Yeah. So, you know, as soon as they fired him, I, along with, I'm sure, multiple other Bruins fans, said that this was the wrong decision to make. And the big reason was that, you know, Don Sweeney and Cam Neely, who now run the Bruins, they're basically called, how do I put this? They were the golden boys, basically, of their era. And, you know, they were like the cool kids, basically. So, because Cassidy wasn't one of the cool kids, he couldn't hang with the cool kids anymore. So, they end up firing him, and they bring in Jim Montgomery, which, I mean, to be fair, Jim Montgomery, very good this year. You know, we saw all those records that the Bruins broke under Jim Montgomery. You know, I'm not saying that the new coach is bad. I'm not saying that at all. I still feel, though, that they potentially could have done the same thing if Bruce Cassidy was still there. And maybe if Bruce Cassidy was still there, we'd be looking at the Bruins against Vegas as opposed to Florida against Vegas.
Interesting. Yeah, what easily could have been. I could certainly see that becoming a reality if he hadn't hit the road, if he hadn't, you know, been shown the door in Boston. Who knows what could have been.
Right.
I mean, this year we've talked about it a lot, but you're insight into Boston, you know, being a great Bruins fan, but we talked about it plenty. But, yeah, this year I think it was more, you know, the injuries were just devastating in the first round. But who knows? With Cassidy, maybe they'd still be playing. Never can tell.
That's the thing. You never really know. We do have a couple of trades to announce before we go into NFL talk. First off, the Philadelphia Flyers, they have traded Ivan Provorov, one of their young defensemen, as well as Hayden Hodgson, to Los Angeles, to the Los Angeles Kings, in exchange for Calvin Peterson, Sean Walker, Helge Granz, and the Kings' second-round pick in next year's draft, 2024. Columbus, this is a three-team trade between Philly, L.A., and Columbus. Columbus will acquire Kevin Connaughton from Philadelphia in exchange for a first-round pick this year, which is the 22nd overall pick, and a conditional second-round pick in either next year's or the 2025 NFL draft or NHL draft. To add on to this, though, LA then acquired or then flipped Provorov over to Columbus in exchange for Connaughton.
Wow. Savvy. Pretty cool move.
So there's a lot of moving parts to this deal, and a lot of it has to do with freeing up cap space. And I can tell you right now, The Philadelphia Flyers are not done yet. They still have a trade in the works for their goaltender Carter Hart. They're still working on a trade for one of the Hayes brothers. So things are not done as of yet in Philadelphia. There's still a lot of movement that is expected to take place. However, as part of this deal, the Kings will retain 30% of Provorov's deal, meaning that he will cost $4.7 million against the cap for Columbus for the next two seasons. So
Wow. His
cap hit is pretty huge for the next two seasons with Columbus. But that doesn't really matter because they have a lot of cap space to begin with. So basically, to sum it all up, at the end of it all, Columbus gets Provorov, which is the defensive upgrade they needed. Philadelphia gets Peterson, Granz, Walker, the 22nd overall pick this year, the second-round pick from L.A. next year, and a conditional second from Columbus in either next year or 2025. L.A., they get Hodgson, and they get Connaughton. So a lot of salary getting moved around, and this is L.A.'s way of trying to free up some cap space so that they can re-sign Vladislav Gavrikov, who they had acquired from Columbus at the trade deadline.
Interesting.
Second deal that we have to report is the Columbus Blue Jackets were not done there. They then acquired defenseman Damon Severson from the New Jersey Devils in a sign-and-trade deal.
Wow.
And in particular, Damon Severson will sign an 8-year extension worth an annual cap hit of $6.25 million per year. In return, Columbus will send the 80th overall pick in the NHL draft this year to New Jersey for facilitating that deal. Columbus,
what they're
basically doing is they're trying to rebuild their defensive core, considering they already have a young team as it is, but they feel that they're missing just a few pieces that they think can put them over the top and bring them back to being contenders. And honestly, acquiring Provorov and now acquiring Severson, I feel puts them right in line to potentially do that.
Yeah, really instrumental, big-time impact moves. And you're right, when they're, you know, like in any sport, any front office regime, if you're close, you know, you've got to be aggressive and make those moves. So now they're in a position to really get back to prominence. You know, it's been a while, but they're on the cusp of really becoming very good again.
Right. Okay, on to the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest story that has come out on the NFL this week. The Minnesota Vikings have released running back Dalvin Cook, saving nearly $9 million in cap space with the release of Cook, who is now expected to have a strong free agent market.
Yeah.
The Dolphins and Broncos have been linked to Dalvin Cook over the last several months. Which also included Miami attempting to trade for Cook at ahead of the NFL draft.
Do they have the same salary cap that everyone else does? I mean, is every massive big money player like linked to Miami possibly? You know, I don't know. They've signed these really big cornerbacks, and then obviously Tyreek Hill. I don't know. If he goes to Miami, it all starts and ends with someone's quarterback. But, I mean, that would be pretty nasty if you went there. Don't you think so?
Yeah. I mean, they do have they do have a cap space of about...
Okay. Might be incorrect.
I think they've got about 13... I think they've got $13 million in cap space left, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I definitely misspoke then. I was thinking maybe of someone else, but... They're always in on some of the big name guys. But yeah, cap wise, maybe they're not too bad. Yeah, that would be big as long as Tua is healthy. But yeah, adding Cook would be pretty awesome for that roster. Who is it?
I mean,
Denver?
Cook would. Yeah, Denver. Denver's the other known interested party from what we know of right now.
Talk about another team that needs to figure out what the hell is going on with their quarterbacks. But yeah, he would be good there too.
But I mean, that's you do have, you know, if you add Dalvin Cook to Miami, he would instantly become their number one running back because they got Jeff Wilson, they got Raheem Mostert, they got Salvin Ahmed. And honestly, you know, you put Dalvin Cook in that depth chart, he immediately becomes their number one running back.
Wow.
You know, I don't see anybody else taking that top spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think Minnesota just kind of like snowballed over the years, apparently, but they're just in total cap hell. I think they still need to shed more salary after the Cook release. They had to get rid of Thielen, hometown favorite, you know, aging veteran, so he doesn't cost as much, but, you know, remember they had to wave goodbye to him, and he's a crowd favorite. Kendricks, two of their linebackers moved on 100% due to money. Yeah, the Vikings are really, they're like having a massive fire sale.
You know, this is very interesting, though, that the release of Dalvin Cook means that they're going with Alexander Mattison,
who they really like, but maybe he is, and maybe for a fraction of the cost, and he doesn't have a really bad injury history. So they might, I mean, if he plays 16, 17 games, they might win that trade-off. Because Cook, for as talented as he is, he averages 10 or 12 games a year. Yeah, that's really frustrating to Vikings players and fans. I mean, they want more durability out of the running back. But, yeah, home run threat. I mean, Cook has more pure talent. But I don't know. But you think Mattison could be a really, really awesome starter or just like a good, you know, 1,000-yard rusher?
I mean, I don't know. Because you look at he spent 4 years in the league so far, and literally his best season rushing-wise, if you want to talk about touchdowns, he had the most touchdowns of his career this year with 5 touchdowns. However, he had the least amount of yards at only 283 yards in 17 games played.
That's crazy.
So,
very unproven.
You know, he only rushed. He only rushed for an average of 3.8 yards.
Wow. Yeah, great unknown. Well, obviously they see him in practice and stuff, and they know a hell of a lot more than we do. But yeah, we're still the jury's still out on him. But they handed him the keys. They got to see something in them that they like. So I know he was awesome in college, but big jump. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. You look at Dalvin. Cook, who has had 43 touchdowns over the last 4 years.
Wow.
I don't understand why they're moving on from Cook.
They're keeping Cousins
salary
for the next 80, for the next like 55 years. Kirk Cousins is going to be like embedded in their quarterback plans. But then they lose the most talented player, skill position player, since, you know, minus Justin Jefferson the past 10 years. I mean, Cook's electric. Yeah, I don't really know. That's a crazy move. And just like Hopkins, it's weird. That's a new trend. Two big names in a row, Steve. They didn't get anything for him.
Yeah.
Ditto with DeAndre Hopkins. Strange. Both just cut. Get something for them. Guess they couldn't.
Well, they did try to get something for Hopkins, but the thing is, nobody was balking at Arizona's asking price, which Arizona was asking for, I think it was like a second or third round pick, and sure. teams knew that eventually, he would end up likely being released.
Yeah,
so,
but, I mean, that's the old, I mean, it's like fantasy sports too, but that's sometimes a dilemma, right? You can risk it on the waiver wire, but if you make a really good offer, you're 100% guaranteed that player, right? Otherwise, every other player in the league, well, of course, we're talking NFL, not fantasy football, but NFL, I mean, if you want Hopkins, you know what I mean? You can't just cross your fingers and say, oh, hopefully he picks up our call on Monday if he gets cut. You know, he can go wherever he wants. If you make
right.
a trade for him, he's yours right off the bat. So
right.
I'm surprised they couldn't circle back to a couple of those phone calls that where other GMs turned them down and then said, you know what, guys? He kind of called our bluff. If you really want Hopkins to be yours and not risk 29, 30 other teams talking to him, just give us a fifth or a sixth or even a seventh rounder. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do that in either case. I mean, just straight up cut two of the more talented players of our generation. Pretty crazy. In the same, what?
I'll tell you right now, DeAndre Hopkins, he has set up visits with the Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots already.
Billy.
Yep,
former Vrabel and Bill Belichick. Yep.
And let's not forget that despite their beef between the two of them, some of Hopkins' best years were under Bill O'Brien.
Wow.
So not saying that it's going to happen, but that is something to keep an eye on, is that some of Hopkins' best performing years were under Bill O'Brien was his head coach, who obviously Bill O'Brien is now the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. So,
wow,
you know, not saying it's going to happen, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. That is such a – I remember when we first started chatting, Steve, and when I think like the first one or two times I started calling in, which I love, but in your show, I remember when I learned that you were a Patriots fan, we didn't really butt heads, but we were kind of like, you thought maybe they were good enough with the weapons? I've been always saying, though, I think, imagine that. If they finally get a real number one, that'll make their offense and their young quarterback so much better. I mean, I think they really, really, really
right.
could get him. They really could use that. Not that's not a luxury. I think that'll really unlock, really elevate their offense, man. I think they desperately need a really big weapon. I don't know if Hopkins is still totally, you know, he might have lost half a step, but, dude, I mean, if they had, like, an awesome 1,300 or 1,400-yard receiver, their offense is at a new, totally new level right away.
I mean, I can tell you right now, just from what I've been hearing out of, now, granted, OTAs is one thing, but they said that the Patriots OTA camp this year has probably been the best since Brady left.
Oh, wow, cool.
You know, the last couple of years, OTAs have always been like a quarterback duel, like trying to decide who the number one quarterback is. You know, was it Cam Newton? Was it Mac Jones? Was it Bailey Zappi? It's clear as day from multiple reports out of the New England area. It's clear as day that Mac Jones is looked at as the number one quarterback on this roster. And believe it or not, Tyquan Thornton, the very speedy wide receiver that they took in last year's draft, is actually being looked at as a potential number one wide receiver by different coaches on that coaching staff right now, with the amount of looks that he's been given in OTAs so far this year.
Yeah, I saw a cool maybe it was like a sports show for like a half hour. I forgot what it was. Maybe it was on YouTube. Someone had shared it, I think, on Facebook. But either way, it was Matt Jones hosting a lot of his teammates to watch a draft. And then they were, you know, drinking some beers, cooking out the wives and the girlfriends were hanging out. He seems like he's really popular with the Patriots players. So I hope they can, you know, for the fans' sake, I hope he and Bill can patch things up, because he seems like a really nice, a good guy and a good teammate. again, he deserves a number one weapon. That'll help him a lot.
Right. You know, from what I know, there's been fellow teammates of his that have come to his aid in the media.
Yeah.
I know Devin McCourty was one of them. There were quite a few people that were
he's well liked. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very well liked.
And that's, I mean, what's more important besides, I guess, arm strength as a quarterback, you know? You don't want some diva or some idiot. I mean, they really like him. He stood up to the hoodie, though. You know, let's call it, Bill Belichick's brilliant. He's got a little bit of narcissism. You know what I mean? It's his way or the highway. So Bill kind of punished Mac for whispering something in the background that he found out about. That was kind of petty, but who knows, man.
Right,
Bill's a smart guy. I'm sure Bill has had a couple different sit downs with him and really cleared the air. I mean, it's the most important position in sports. I'm sure they're on good terms by now.
Right, but you know, if you look at obviously when you try to compare Bill O'Brien to Matt Patricia, there's obviously no comparison. You know. Bill O'Brien will out-coach Matt Patricia in circles all day long. There's not really any comparison between the two. But let's add another part of this equation.
Yeah.
Another part of this equation. Before Brady had those record-breaking years, one of his best years came under Bill O'Brien as well.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not putting it out there that, you know, Mac Jones is all of a sudden Tom Brady. I'm not saying that, but it's clear as day, you know, Bill O'Brien is able to unlock something in each of the quarterbacks that he works with. I mean, he did it with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
He did it with Deshaun Watson. He did it with Bryce Young. He did it with Tom Brady. I mean, Brady was already at an elite level anyways. But
and you know what big though? And you know what was cool? Bill Belichick, very smart. He knows how to handle business. I mean, he knows how to do what he does. He does things for a reason, right? He's like, you know what, I'm succeeding over duties. Bill O'Brien's in charge of the offense, that's it. So he like stepped out of the way.
And that's the best thing he could have done.
And now Mac is feeling a little bit better now, even more so. And Bill can handle what he does best, defense. Yeah, you hire the right people, you let them do their parts of the job, and then, you know, I mean, the fiasco, we've had a lot of good laughs, you, me, Lou, the listeners, the callers, but, I mean, that was just embarrassing. Basically, like, who wants to wear the headset and call plays this Sunday? How about next Sunday? You want to try it? I mean... Bill O'Brien, they really needed to make a good change, and they did.
Yeah, and that's the best thing that could have happened is Belichick relinquishing offensive play-calling duties to Bill O'Brien. Because let's face it, Bill's not an offensive coach. He's a defensive coach. And,
yeah,
you know, I really do think now that he was probably going – you know, last season he was like, okay, you know, I'm doing something for, you know, I'm giving one of my or two of my friends a little bit of a you know, a little bit of a favor here. You know, I'm letting them still get paid the amount that they're getting paid by their former teams, while also trying to potentially rehab their image a little bit. So I kind of understand what he may have been doing. And, you know, as soon as the off season hit, now obviously he probably felt a whole bunch of pressure from Robert Kraft to do this. But literally I truly believe there's only one person that you could really go to who would be on the market. And that, of course, was Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, that was the perfect.
And especially since
there's certain moves that are like perfect. That was just like for them. That was the perfect move.
Yeah, and especially since Belichick likes to keep people from his own orbit in his coaching staff. I mean, Adrian Clem, the guy that they got from, he was the offensive line coach in Oregon. And my understanding is in order to get him to New England, they're paying him like he's a head coach. And the same with Bill O'Brien right now. They're paying the both of them like so.
Yeah, that's a crucial move. That was a really good move by the Pats.
Yeah, Belichick isn't messing around. And, if there's one thing I know about Robert Kraft, as long as it'll put a winning team out on the field, he will dish out the money.
Oh, heck yeah. That
money
cannot be denied.
Problem.
That's factual. That's a fact. Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it with the New England Revolution, for example. Because he owns the New England Revolution in Major League Soccer. New England has had two of the best forwards in the league for God knows how many years straight. And in order to keep them on the roster, he pays a significant amount of money to keep them on the roster. Like, I mean, obviously, we're not talking Lionel Messi type of money, but
still,
we're talking like maybe a good $7-8 million per season.
Wow, it's nothing to sneeze at.
So
yeah, it's a good chunk of change. Yep, that's good money.
So Robert Kraft doesn't care. As long as it'll put out a winning team, he will pay the money.
Absolutely. Yeah, he really will. They're going to be much improved this year.
On the other hand, that's a different story.
The coach is going to help a lot. I'm not going to keep – it'll be annoying after a while. But, yeah, that's like the one no-brainer right away. Right when he got released, I was like, the Patriots have to jump on Hopkins. That's just the perfect match. Exactly what Mac needs. It's what Belichick needs if he wants to, win 13 games again. Or else, is he really going to close his career in the next 2 or 3 years, winning 7-8 games a year? I mean, they have to really roll the dice and bring in Hopkins. They have to. Not really risk.
He will close his.
He should be a Patriot.
He will close his career. He will close his career once he gets Don Shula's record. That's when he'll close his career.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Can they get back to that pinnacle? I mean, without Brady, can they at least, let's say, win the AFC East? Or else he's going to really be a 500 coach for the last 5 years of his run. He's going to be a 500 coach the last half decade of his career.
They ain't winning the AFC with this current crop of quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And especially now that the Jets have brought in Aaron Rodgers,
Diva, but he looks good in the Jets camp. He is saying all the right things, so he looks like he's going to be legit. It's not going to be a total dumpster fire. So that's another top gun gunslinger. Yeah, I mean,
New England's going to have to do something very significant in order to potentially be considered a contender.
But you just got to get in there, and it's not even 7 games. It's one game. Just get, obviously home field is huge. But they really just need to get back into the playoffs first. Hopkins can do that right away, I think. If they get Hopkins, not everyone can have Mahomes or Burrow. You don't want to just throw in the towel. They still want to give it their best shot and try to compete. When it comes to those quarterbacks, they get drafted corners. Look who they got, Christian Gonzalez from Oregon. So Belichick's never been stupid. I mean, that's the best way to try to beat him.
Yeah, not only that.
I'd lock down corners, and now they can match up better with the Chiefs and the Bills if they make the playoffs.
not only that, they got Gonzalez from Oregon, but you know, one potential big reason why they got him was because I believe, at least, Adrian Clem, their current offensive line coach. He was part of the coaching staff, so he did get to see what type of player Christian Gonzalez was on a consistent basis.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I
wouldn't be surprised if he helped Belichick out a little bit with that pick.
No, it wouldn't shock me one bit. That makes a lot of sense.
So, but yeah, you know,
I was just going to say, look at coaching and then offense and defense, three equally important elements of any good team, right? For football, Bill O'Brien, they added a lockdown corner probably, and they could add a game-changing number one weapon in Hopkins. That's a kick-ass offseason. Go out and do it. Get Hopkins.
Yeah. Well, they definitely have the number one remaining salary cap space left among all the teams that are interested in Hopkins. So if anybody can get it done, you know, money isn't going to be an issue.
He's expressed his admiration. He's kind of flirted with Belichick before, right? He's acted like he wants to kind of be a Patriot.
Yeah. He has over multiple years.
Make it happen. I mean, there's no way in hell unless Bill or someone said something or he has some really bad dirt or some reason he's staying away from him. I mean, this that looks like a match made in heaven. It should happen.
I wouldn't rule out Tennessee though.
Yeah, but I keep thinking of Brady or Belichick, but obviously Brady's not there, but I mean, if I'm looking to make a big move and close out my career, Tennessee's just not even in the mix. Sorry, Titans fans, but it is what it is. They're talking about moving Derrick Henry. They're really, really unsettled quarterback spot now. They lost A.J. Brown. Such a bad deal that GM got fired because of that move. I mean, so they've lost. Think about it. In 1 or 2 years, they could be minus Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. And Tannehill's regressed. So, I mean, I think New England's definitely more appealing to Hopkins. They're not like Kansas City or Buffalo good yet, but you know what I mean? I don't really think Tennessee, unless maybe he absolutely loves Coach Vrabel. Who knows? You know what I mean? No, I wouldn't be rushing to join Tennessee if I was him.
And to be fair, I do actually think that obviously if money wasn't a factor, I do think Kansas City and Buffalo would be in the mix. At least based on the reports that have been put out there, it does sound like money will be somewhat of a factor.
Yeah.
Which makes me believe that it's probably not going to be just a one-year deal.
No,
whoever grabs him, it's probably going to be multi-year.
Yeah, and I think ideally you probably want to give them like 3 years. But it takes both sides to agree, 2 to 10 go. But, you know, I wouldn't want to give Hopkins a 6 or 7 year deal, but you also don't want to insult him and have him hang up on the phone, hang up on you permanently, block your number if you offer him a 1 year deal. So I'd give him 3 years, 4 years, tops. I don't know if he's lost a little step. You know, he's not going to get any quicker each year now. So what do you think a good deal would be, about 3 years?
I mean, possibly, you know, I'd go to maybe three. It really all depends on, you also have to take a look at his physical too.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the player, they want 4 years more money, but I think a good middle and a mutually good scenario would be 3 or 4 years. He's not getting younger, but he's still got some good shelf life left.
And honestly, I think he was kind of underutilized in Cliff Kingsbury's system.
Yeah, and also, you know, when your Smurf quarterback is too worried about, you know, his headset on Call of Duty and doesn't really know how to run an offense, that's a little bit of an issue too.
Right.
You take a look at Hopkins. He doesn't even know what the play is. He just throws a bomb up. What?
Yeah, you take a look at Hopkins' years in Arizona. If you take a look at his years in Arizona and his years in Houston, Arizona, out of the 3 years he played in Arizona, he only topped 7 touchdowns once. And that was in 10 games.
He's so good, though, man. I'm not disputing what you're saying. It's factual, but I think a lot of it sometimes, like Kyler Murray, come on. I think he'd do a lot more damage with a solid Mac Jones throwing to him. I mean, Murray was
right.
All over the map, totally erratic. It's not ideal for a receiver to thrive. They want someone, you know, consistent and someone who actually knows the offense. That's what they'll get in New England.
By the way, I do have a little bit something interesting here to point out real quick for the Stanley Cup Finals Game 5.
Yeah.
There were a ton of penalties that were given out in that last bit, you know, as time expired. Looks like Brandon Montour and Matthew Tkachuk both got misconduct penalties, which may result in a potential suspension for both players.
Wow.
So Florida's already dealing with an uphill battle, and this may have potentially sealed the deal if they face a potential suspension.
I'm going to add that on DraftKings right now. Yeah. Denver and the Golden Knights. Nuggets and Knights. That's it. That's it. Locks. No, yeah, I mean, that's crippling. If they lose, there's definitely no such thing as a lock. Trust me on that. Let's see. No, but I mean, yeah, if they, especially Tkachuk, dude, he's an absolutely incredible player. Yeah, they're dead and gone. If they lose him for the next game, no, their season's over without him.
Also in the NFL, the Denver Broncos, they have signed edge rusher Frank Clark, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs, to a 1-year deal worth about $5.5 million that can be worth up to $7.5 million. And to be perfectly honest, I am very surprised that this is only a 1-year deal.
Yep, now he can hunt his boy Mahomes. That's crazy. Interdivision, obviously rival. Now he's going to be going after Mahomes every, you know, twice a year at least. Yeah, 1-year deal. Crazy. He's getting a little bit longer than the Chiefs, but he's still a very productive player. He was one of the captains of the Chiefs. Very popular Kansas City Chiefs. Big move.
I mean, especially considering the fact that, you know, this is a guy who was considered to be one of the Kansas City Chiefs' best defensive players. And
yeah, and Chris Jones. Yep.
He's only getting a 1-year deal. Part of his, this might have been part of his doing. Maybe he wants to re-enter free agency again next year. I'm kind of scratching my head at that. It doesn't. Something's not adding up there, because I would think, you know, if Denver wants to rebuild that defense to be as fearsome as it once was, I would think you would probably want Frank Clark on that defense for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but like you said, it takes both sides to be happy and sign the paper together. I mean, maybe he wanted to bet on himself, have a huge year, and then get a long-term deal either with Denver or with someone else. You know what I mean? Because it also took him a while to sign. So he just basically wanted to get in with someone and sign somewhere at this point.
Right. That's kind of what's making me wonder if maybe perhaps it was his decision.
Bet on,
that he only wanted to do 1 year so that he could re-enter the free agency market.
Probably what it is. Yeah, I agree with you. That's what it seems like it would be.
I mean, it's worked before. You know, it's worked before for certain players, but...
Don't carry
I mean,
while you're back, but yeah, good luck. It's risky, but it can really help. It can help or hurt players. It's a roll of the dice.
You know, exactly what you just said. Don't tear your ACL or something. You know, it would really suck to be a guy like Frank Clark and to basically bet on yourself and then ultimately lose that bet by going down for the season, which ultimately, you know, will obviously affect, you know, your price for free agency.
It's worse than sports injuries. So hopefully it stays healthy.
Hopefully, yeah. Because otherwise, you know, he's putting a lot of risk, basically, into signing just a one-year deal here. Speaking of injuries, Jacob DeGrom, he is done for the season for the Texas Rangers, undergoing season-ending Tommy John surgery. Tossing only 30 1/3 innings in 6 starts while registering a 2.67 ERA. But he does remain under team control through the 2027 season. However, you know, we were talking about this would be a good thing for Texas as long as he's able to stay healthy. But it looks like, once again, you know, Jacob DeGrom must be kind of like Chris Sale. He must be one of those players that's just plain injury prone, period.
Yeah, I mentioned I wasn't sure if you're still on the show earlier. Lou's great show, but I mentioned Sale too. Yeah, just so injury prone. I mean, on the fast track to the Hall of Fame, World Series ace, lefty, electric stuff, and just decimated by injuries. DeGrom, same thing. I mean, he literally had no run support as a Met. You know, he's like a 500 pitcher with a sub-2 ERA. Are you kidding me? And then, good for him, man. He went out. Texas risked a lot and gave him a lot, but right back to ground zero with the injuries. It's really, it's tragic. I mean, his injuries are just as bad, if not worse, than Sale. Probably about the same.
Yeah.
They've lost years and years of glory and money. They're well paid, but you know what I mean? They've missed out on some other contracts. They're going to get paid, though, but you hate to see it.
Yeah, I mean, he got his final big payday, but I mean, he's what, 34?
Yeah.
We say this though, and yet you look at a guy like Justin Verlander, who had Tommy John surgery, and then all of a sudden he wins the Cy Young Award last year.
That's true.
At the rapidly decaying age of what, 40, 41?
Yeah, exactly, to build on your point. If DeGrom, let's see the timeline, if he comes back, you know, 35 and a half. So he still might have another good, really good half decade, but his problem, it seems like every 6 months or 8 months, another huge injury happens. So it's like, who knows what he can accomplish anymore. Very, very unfortunate. Hope he never gets injured again, but the odds are against that.
Yeah, it's looking highly likely that, I mean, first off, this could have a pretty significant impact potentially on Texas for a team that's looking to try and make its way back playoffs for the first time in a long time.
They've been awesome.
You know, they
and I know
all
I know
this.
pitching is so important for Texas. Like, their lineup though is awesome. they might just, you know, keep scoring 8 or 9 runs a game and just kicking people's asses. But, I mean, sure, you want your eighth, but who else has Eovaldi? They have a couple other decent arms, but, yeah, awesome offense. But, yeah, it definitely – maybe they trade for someone else. But, yeah, they signed him to be their anchor, and unfortunately he's gone again.
Yeah. Hey, Don, it's funny you mentioned Eovaldi because Eovaldi right now is looking like a potential Cy Young candidate with the games he's putting up.
Nuts, crazy. Boston either being chintzy or betting on the wrong people, but hey, they've had a good year though overall in Beantown. But yeah, they could definitely use Eovaldi right now.
Yeah. They could definitely use Eovaldi. They could use Eovaldi. They could use who else did they give up? Michael Wacha. You know, they could use quite a few people that they let go.
Wacha's looked insanely good. He's nuts. He's been on like 15 different teams, and when he's healthy, he pitches like a 2 ERA, and then the next year he goes to some other random team for like a minimum contract. I can't figure that guy's career out. He looks incredible, and he's, like, been on 25 teams, all, like, one-year deals. Like, next year I'm going to this state. Next year I'm going to that state. Wasn't he really good for Boston, too?
He was, yeah. He had a 6-0 record. He had a 6-0 record that was decimated by injuries in the later portions of the season.
That's another guy. But, injury bug, but yeah, it was former first round pick, St. Louis Cardinals. He has a huge pedigree, just has to stay healthy.
Yeah, but anyways, that's gonna do it for tonight's show. Though I do want to once again thank everybody for joining us earlier tonight for the tribute to Eddie Raheem. A huge thank you to Jim Early. Without his help, we wouldn't get these podcasts out to you. A huge thank you to Melissa, JB, Reggie, Michael Doyle, Tim Gross, and Laura Murphy for each of their statements that they had tonight. Of course, as always, Alex, Lou, and Diane for joining me for the sports portion of the show. We'll be back next Saturday night for another edition of Sports Whispers Weekly. And to sign off here, Eddie, we miss you, buddy. It was a pleasure to have you, as always, as a member of the Whispers family. And now you'll be looking up there, keeping an eye out for us. So until next week. Everybody have a good rest of your weekend, and we will see you guys next Saturday night.